most of you will recognize, 1 Peter chapter 5, verse number 8. Sounds like they're having a good time back there, don't it, sister? That sounds like me at the house. My wife locks me in the back, and that's what happens right there. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse number 8. The scripture says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour." Let's bow our heads for prayer. Father, we thank you again for this day and for this opportunity to be here. Thank you for each person that's put forth the effort to come. And Lord, I pray you'd bless them for being here. And Lord, I ask that you please help me now to be able to feed your people from the Word of God. Please fill my mind, my mouth, my heart with what you want said. And may your Holy Spirit use it as only he can. Lord, I can't do anything without you, so I need you to take this simple message and use it for your glory and honor. And Lord, we'll thank you for everything that you accomplish. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to begin, and I say begin because I am very confident I'm going to run out of time before I finish everything that I feel like the Lord wants me to say. So I'm going to start or begin a message today that I have titled very simply, Your Adversary. Your Adversary. And as you see in the verse we just read, 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse number 8, our adversary, our enemy, the one who is against or in opposition to those of us who are saved, is the devil. Look once again here at verse number 8. Peter says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil." So it is very clear from the Word of God that we have an enemy, and that enemy is the devil. The arch enemy of God is also the enemy of God's people. And this is one reason why Peter tells us here to be sober, which means to be serious-minded, and also vigilant. If you look there again at the verse, that's how he begins. He says, "Be sober, be vigilant." Sober, as I said, is serious-minded. Vigilant means to be watchful. It means to be alert, to be open-eyed, and on guard. If you think about the word vigilant, it is very close to the word vigil. And if you know anything about a vigil is a period of keeping awake or staying up in order to watch or pray. And that's one reason why oftentimes in the Bible those two things are combined. You'll see, especially in the New Testament, where the Word of God says we are to watch and pray. And that's what being vigilant is all about. It's about being alert. It's about keeping your eyes open and being on guard so that you can watch and pray. Obviously, in the context here, Peter is talking about how we need to be sober and vigilant with regards to our adversary, the devil. And I believe this is a major reason, not the only reason, but a major reason why our adversary works so hard to get those of us who are saved excessively involved in the things of this world. And in this instance, I'm not talking here about wicked things. I'm not talking about sinful things. I'm talking about things the Bible refers to as the pleasures of this life. The devil works overtime trying to get us bogged down in the things of this world, the pleasures of this life. And one reason why he does this is because it keeps us distracted. We get fixated on these various things so that we're not sober and alert when it comes to him, our adversary. And I think this is something we need to really focus on and pay attention to, because the devil's doing a really good job at getting us sidetracked, by getting us bogged down and fixated on the things of this world. I have never seen it in all of my life like it is now. And some of you who are beyond my age by many years can remember a time that I can't even remember. But in my short period of time on this earth, my 46 years, I can't think of a time when I have seen the people of God as bogged down in and distracted by the things of the world as they are right now. It is unbelievable. Again, I'm not talking about wicked things necessarily. I'm talking about stuff that in and of themselves are okay. But the problem is we've just allowed these things to consume us. We've got so bogged down in them that now we're fixated on them and our focus is all on these things and we're distracted by these things. I think about how when I was coming along as a little kid growing up, I remember being able to go up to Johnson Park and play baseball when I was just a little kid. And as far as I know, they still have baseball and such up there at Johnson Park now. But I remember when I was a little kid, my mama's got some pictures now, which I hope to God none of you ever see, by the way. Some pictures of when I was just a little long, shaggy-haired joker playing for the Bombers up at the park there in Andalusia. You know the difference between then and now? One of the differences is back then we never had practice on Wednesday or Sunday. We never had games on Wednesday or Sunday. I just wasn't heard of. They do now, don't they? They do. And you know one reason, by the way, why they've been so successful at that? Because instead of Christian parents standing against that, they just sign their children up and take them right on to the practice, right on to the ball games. And it's nothing anymore for a child to miss Wednesday night service to be at ball practice or some other thing they got going on. And it seems to me like parents want to sign their kids up for every single school function and activity and sport they possibly can. They just go from one to the other, one to the other, and they feel like if they don't let their kids be involved in every single event that comes along, that somehow they're being a bad parent. Where from my perspective, and I believe God's perspective, is we're being bad parents when we teach our children that that kind of stuff takes precedent over the things of God. But that's the kind of stuff we're teaching our children now. And you know what I believe? I believe all of that is the work of our adversary. That's what I believe. I believe the devil doesn't mind you getting involved in anything as long as it will distract you from the things of God and distract you from what he is wanting to do in your life. You see, whenever you get distracted and fixated on things of this world, you're not sober-minded like you need to be. And you're not vigilant like you need to be. And what that does is it allows the devil to come in and do his work many times without us even realizing what's going on. We don't even recognize until it's too late, until the devil's already got a foothold in our lives or the lives of our children, what's happening. We don't realize that because we're not sober. We're not vigilant like the Bible says. We're fixated on stuff down here. Consumed with stuff down here. If you look here in this verse again, 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8, you'll notice there that your adversary is likened to a roaring lion. And we've talked about that in the past. But here's one thing I've noticed in watching nature programs and so forth, and that's what I have to do to learn about a lion. I don't, as far as I know, don't have any running around down there where I live, thank God. But if you watch a National Geographic or whatever it is, you see these nature programs, and I've watched things in the past about lions. And in all honesty, one reason why I have paid attention to the things that I see there is because the Bible likens my adversary to a lion. So I want to learn what I can about a lion, because in learning about a lion, I'm learning, believe it or not, about my adversary. And one thing I've noticed is that as they stalk their prey, and y'all have seen them as they go around through the grass and the woods and all that, and they stalk their prey, they don't hardly ever make their move until their prey is distracted by something else, do they? Have you noticed that? As long as whatever they're after, it's an antelope, I don't know, whatever they eat, As long as their ears are up and they're looking over there toward them, they don't make their move. As long as they're alert and watchful, they'll just be patient. Those lions will crouch down in that grass and they'll wait. And they'll wait. And they'll wait until, guess what? They drop their guard. And when they bend their head down and get easy, those of you that deer hunt, like myself, y'all seen it before. Hadn't you been sitting in a tree stand before and a doe, buck, whatever come out and they're out there milling around and they get on alert? Y'all seen that? Well, as a hunter, that's not when you make your move, is it? If that big old flop-eared doe's looking up there right at you and, you know, stomping her feet like she does and putting her head down, snatching it up, that ain't when you make your move, is it? When do you make your move? When she calms down, when she starts eating, when she's not looking at you anymore. That's how those lions are. They get out in that grass and they'll just wait and they're patient. They don't make their move when those animals are on alert. They make their move when they get distracted, when they get their mind and their attention on something else. That's what the Bible says about our adversary. He's as a roaring lion. That's why he works so hard to get us distracted by the things of this world. Because when we get distracted by this stuff down here, which y'all understand, don't you? That the vast, vast, vast majority of this stuff that we are so consumed with in eternity is not going to amount to a hill of beans. You understand that, don't you? And that's what's so sad is that we spend our days and our nights and our time on this earth distracted by stuff that in eternity is not going to matter. I guarantee you when you stand before the Lord Jesus Christ, man, he's not going to talk to you about how many deer you killed in your life. He's not going to talk to you, mommy and daddy, about how many home runs Junior hit in T-ball. He's not going to talk to you about how many goals they scored in soccer. He's not going to care about that kind of stuff. But that's the kind of stuff the devil wants us focused on. Because when we get focused on that, that's when he'll make his move. And he'll bring in this stuff. We don't even realize a lot of times what's going on until it's too late. But that's how the devil works. Our adversary. Now, with all of that said and all of that in your mind, at least I hope it's in your mind, hope it didn't do like I've been accused of going one ear and out the other. I want to tell you four things. I want to give you four biblical truths about your adversary, the devil. This is going to come straight out of the Word of God. Four biblical truths about your adversary. And again, I won't get through all of this, but I'm going to go as far as I can in the time that I have. I want us to start right here in 1 Peter chapter 5. And the first thing I want to say about your adversary, my adversary, is that he's looking. He's looking. He's constantly looking. Peter says right here in verse number 8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, here's the word, seeking whom he may devour. He's looking, just like a lion. You know something a lion does every day? Every day. Not every now and again, but every day. You know what that lion does every day? Looks for something to eat, doesn't he? They don't just eat once a month or twice a year, you know. Every day those lions are looking for something to devour. And if you've ever, again, watched those programs, when they take down something, that's exactly what they do, brother. They devour that thing. They eat it down to nothing unless they get run off by the hyenas first. But they devour it. They look for something every single day. That's exactly how our enemy is. While we might take a break on God and not be faithful to do the stuff that we're supposed to do, I can guarantee you the devil never takes a break when it comes to what he wants to do. He's all the time looking. And look at the wording here. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh. Notice, walketh. It doesn't say he walked like past tense, like he did that in the past and now he's not doing it anymore. To listen to most people talk nowadays, you'd think that all of a sudden the devil just has no concern about people and he's not doing anything anymore. You listen to most people talking, and it's like talking to people even about folks being possessed by the devil or possessed by unclean spirits. You know what I've heard people say many, many times before? Well, that's how it was back in Jesus' day. The devil ain't working like that anymore. He's not doing that kind of stuff anymore. Can I share something with you? That's exactly what the devil wants you to think. He wants you to think that he's not interested in your life anymore, that he doesn't care about our church anymore, that he doesn't care about the things of God, that he's somehow got distracted and his focus is off on something else, and he's no longer concerned about humanity and no longer concerned about the people of God, and nothing could be further from the truth. That Bible doesn't say he walked. The Bible says he walketh. You know what that means? That means he's still walking right now. That's what it means. He's still walking. And look at this. As a roaring lion walketh about seeking. Not he sought. It's not that there was a time when he was looking for somebody to devour and he's just suddenly stopped now. Now that we're in, you know, this great era and time that we're in, he just suddenly decided he's not going to look for anybody anymore. No. It says seeking. You know what that means? Seeking. It's constantly going on. There's no let up. There's no stop to it. Listen, folks, understand here, and I'm not just trying to glorify the devil here this morning, but I'm trying to help God's people have an understanding of their adversary. Please understand, he's as much concerned about your life now as he's ever been concerned about anybody's life. He is looking right now just as hard and just as diligent as he's ever looked for somebody to destroy. That's what he's doing. Because look at what the Bible says. As a roaring lion walketh about seeking whom he may have fun with. Is that what it says? No. Not only do I hear people talk about how they think his work was back here instead of now, but I hear people in present day trivialize the devil. It's almost like he's a joke to people. The way they talk about him, the things they say. And it's amazing if you pay attention. That's just the way he works, see. If you pay attention to some of these shows and movies and things that they've come out with through the years, you know what they do? They try to almost present the devil as a good guy. They almost try to present the devil as somebody that's our friend that will help us out. Let me give you four instances. And I've never seen this movie in totality. I remember when it came out. And I saw some clips of it because I was interested. I wanted to see the perspective that they took on this thing. Some of you might have heard about it or seen it, but some years back, they come out with one called Hellboy. Any of y'all in here remember that movie, Hellboy? Well, anyway, some of you probably do, and you're just too embarrassed to admit it. But Hellboy is something that they came out with some years ago. Matter of fact, I think they came out with a sequel, Hellboy 2. Okay. I watched a little bit of that first one. You know what that movie was about? It was about this thing, I don't know, some devil thing that literally came up out of hell, okay? Hellboy. He comes up out of hell. He's got these big old horns coming out of him. He's red looking and all that kind of stuff. You know what that thing did? It turned that thing into a good guy. And that Hellboy turns out to be the hero of the whole movie. He saves planet Earth from all these bad things. This thing that comes up out of hell that was birthed by the devil is turned into a good guy. Now, we can say, oh, that's just a movie, that's crazy. Let me ask you something. Who do you think would want us to believe something like that? Who would inspire a movie like that? You think God would inspire a movie like that? You think God would inspire a movie that presents something that comes up out of hell as good? That's something that the devil inspires. And that's the kind of stuff. People act as if he worked back then. They act as if he was bad back there. But now they trivialize him like the devil is a good guy, that he's out for our good, and one day he's going to show up. Which, by the way, and I'm not just rambling here, I'm just telling you what the Bible teaches. Do you know that during the tribulation period, Satan is going to literally come up out of hell and be on this earth down here and present himself as the savior of mankind? Do y'all know that? So let me ask you something. What do you think Hellboy is doing? What's it do? A movie like that, stuff like, you know what that's doing? That is the devil. And people, this is how dumb, I'm sorry, it's how dumb God's people are sometimes. They look at that stuff and act like it's insignificant, doesn't matter. And I'm going to tell you what that is. That's the devil preparing humanity to accept him when he shows up on this earth down here. It's exactly what it is. Don't ever trivialize the devil. He's just as real right now as he's ever been, and his goal is the same right now as it's ever been. He's not going to be the savior of this world. He's not going to better your life. He's not looking to have fun with you. What does the Bible say he wants to do for you right here? Devour you. You know what the word devour means? It means to consume completely. It means to destroy. That's what it means. That's what the devil wants to do. That's what your enemy has in mind for you. Not to better you, not to help you, to destroy you. That goes right in line with what the Lord Jesus Christ said in John 10:10 about the devil. He said, the thief cometh not, but what? For to steal, to kill, and destroy. Isn't that what Jesus said? That's what he's looking to do. He's seeking whom he may devour. The devil is looking for anyone that he can destroy. Now, the wonderful thing about those of us who are saved is that the devil can't have our soul. Amen. I'm saved today by the grace of God. I'm kept by the power of God. And I don't have to worry about him having my soul and taking me to hell. Praise God for that. No saved person has to worry about that. He can't have my soul. He can't have your soul. But I tell you what he can. He can destroy your life. He can make an absolute mess out of your life down here on this earth. And that's what he's looking to do. He's looking to devour you, to completely destroy your life. The thing I've learned through the years is he'll use anything he can to accomplish his goal. Anything he can. Doesn't matter. He'll use love for money. He'll use immorality. You know, there's been many a testimony, many a life destroyed by an act of immorality. Just that act of immorality. He'll use that kind of stuff. Drugs, alcohol. Use that kind of stuff. But here's the thing that I want you to hear today. Because I think, and maybe the reason we think this is because the devil wants us to think this, we think the only ones who've been messed up by the devil are those poor drunkards and dope addicts that are living out on the street that don't have anything. We look at them, boy, look what the devil's done to them. He just wrecked their life. Well, amen, he sure has. But I'm going to tell you something, folks, and this is the part that y'all need to listen to. There's people that have nice homes and nice vehicles, six-figure jobs every year, and sit on a church pew every Sunday morning, and their life is an absolute mess spiritually right now because of the devil. See, our mind, just when we think of the devil destroying something, it just automatically goes out, you know, to some place out on the street, some person that ain't got no home, no clothes, no food, and their life just all messed up. Well, yeah, that is the work of the devil, okay? But the devil ain't just out there, folks. The devil's in places just like this right here. In church buildings, let me put it like that, around. And there are people whose lives spiritually have been ruined by false doctrine. See, he'll use whatever he can. If he can't get you with drugs, if he can't get you with alcohol, well, look here, he ain't gonna stop. It's not like, well, I tried drugs and that didn't work, so, well, I ain't gonna worry about them no more. I tried alcohol, that didn't work, I ain't gonna fool with that anymore. No, what he does is he keeps on and he keeps on and he keeps on until he finds a weakness somewhere. And what may not be a weakness for you, that is for somebody else, there's something there that if you're not careful, he'll use to destroy your life. And there's people, it ain't drugs, it ain't alcohol, they good, clean-cut folks, and they go to church every Sunday. But he slipped them some false doctrine along the way. Somebody came to their house one Saturday while they were sitting there and knocked on the door. Come up in a van, and a couple of them got out. And they didn't have a pitchfork, and they weren't red, and they didn't have big long horns. Didn't have none of that. They had on a suit and a tie or a nice dress. Had some literature in their hand. Knocked on their door. Y'all following what I'm saying? Folks, listen to me. That kind of mess right there is just as much or more of the devil than that drug and alcohol business. And they were sitting there just minding their own business, and here they come, knocked on the door and got their nice little outfits on, and they're sweet and they're polite. Can I give you something to read? And those people take that stuff in, and because they never have studied the Bible like they need to, they let somebody sucker them, and they get steeped in a bunch of false doctrine. They leave a good church where they should be at, and they go off into an occult, and they spend the rest of their life serving the devil. Amen. That's exactly what happened. What I'm telling you, he'll devour you any way he can. He'll use whatever means necessary. Whatever you will allow, that's what he'll use. I mentioned to you before how that I talked personally to two or three different people. The latest one I talked to was a man that came to my house to work on my well in my yard. And while he was there, I thought, well, this would be a good opportunity to talk to somebody about the Lord. I'm out there with him. We're working on it. I start talking to him, and he immediately gets defensive with me. Okay, what's his story? Come to find out, he's a big shot in a kingdom hall. And he begins to wade off into me with all this stuff, corrupt, you know, trying to tell me how corrupted I am, how messed up I am. The long or the short of the whole business is this. That man right there and his wife were members of a Baptist church. Y'all listen to me? For years and years before they got sucked into that mess. And now they're spending their life in an occult. That's exactly what that is, by the way. It's an occult that is straight from hell and damning souls to hell, and they've got suckered off into that mess. And now, spiritually speaking, their life is a mess. Now, if you looked at them, if they walked in that door right now, you'd think, that's nice, clean-cut folk, good people. They probably vote every year. Or every time I'm serious. They're probably good citizens of America and all that kind of stuff. Matter of fact, he just bragged and bragged and bragged and went on and on to me about all the stuff that the Jehovah's Witness do, all these humanitarian efforts in foreign countries and all that kind of stuff. Listen to me. The devil doesn't care how many people you help on the outside as long as he can damn their soul to hell. But a lot of saved people ain't got enough sense to realize. You know what he used in that person's life, that man there in that yard? When he left, literally, he felt sorry for me. He did. He felt plumb sorry for me. I don't guess he knew I felt real sorry for him, too. I did. You know what the devil used in that man's life? He didn't get him with drugs. He didn't get him with alcohol. He didn't get him with adultery. He got him with false doctrine. That's what he got him with. Devil use whatever he can. That's your adversary. He's looking, seeking whom he may devour. Now, I'm out of time, so I'm going to stop here, but I want you to think about what we've talked about for just a moment. They do. They outwork us 10-1. Matter of fact, I want you to think about something this morning. Think about your own life. Are you being sober? Are you being vigilant? Or are you distracted this morning? Are you fixated on something down here? Worried about something down here that really ain't bad, but you've just got consumed with that, and you're distracted by that. And that's where your focus is and your energy is. The Bible says, be sober and be vigilant for your adversary, the devil. Don't ever forget. Don't ever forget, you have an adversary, and he hadn't taken a break. He hadn't slacked up. He's working just as hard right now as he's ever worked, and all he wants is for you to give your undivided attention to something else so that he can ruin your life. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning. We thank you for the word of God, for the truth. And Lord, I pray that you would help each one of us, Lord, to be aware that we have a very real enemy that hates us, that wants to destroy our lives, that will use any means necessary. And God, I pray that you would help us to be sober, to be vigilant, to be alert, to be on guard for anything he might try to do. Lord, if there's somebody here this morning, maybe they've already opened themselves up the devil's working in their life. Lord, help them to recognize it through this message. And I pray, Heavenly Father, that they begin right now to do whatever they need to do to get their lives back on track. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all stand together.